If you want to understand how people in the Middle East see America, our foreign policy, and the news in their part of the world, you might try watching Mosaic. It's a daily compilation of news from TV networks through the Middle East, including Egypt, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Israel, and the Palestinian Authority. Mosaic is part of Link TV, a national satellite network dedicated to offering a global perspective on the news. It can also be seen on its website, linktv.com. My guest Jamal Dajani produces Mosaic and is the director of Link TV's Middle East programming. He's a Palestinian from Jerusalem who now lives in San Francisco, where Link TV is headquartered. He was invited to produce the show by David Michaelis, an Israeli broadcaster who co-founded Link TV. The news reports on Mosaic are produced by state-run networks as well as independent cable networks and ones affiliated with political factions. I asked Dajani about Al-Manar TV, which is based in Beirut and is funded by the militant Shiite Islamic group Hezbollah.
I've traveled to 15 out of the 22 countries throughout the Middle East. And I can tell you, Al-Manar ranks third or fourth, sometimes fifth, amongst the most watched TV networks throughout the Middle East. So for us to say, well, okay, it's funded by Hezbollah, it's also funded by Iran, well, that's where they get their money from, and we should dismiss it because it's also on the State Department terrorist list. You could do that, but then we'll be lying to the audience. We'll be saying to the audience, all the Arabs in the Middle East only watch Jordan TV or Al Jazeera, etc. And that's wrong. They watch Al Jazeera, they watch Al Arabiya, they watch Al Manar, people that come from conservative Islamic homes, they pay close attention to Al Manar, and many of its news reports are even watched more than Al Jazeera. Al Manar was practically the only network that coming with interviews within the city of Al Fallujah. Their reporters were the only reporters that felt safe and were given a carte blanche to interview what they deemed as the resistant fighters. So it adds another dimension and an important dimension to the reporting.
I'd like you to choose a story and compare how different Arab networks covered it.
Wow. I have tons of stories. I mean, this is the crazy thing. But we can go. Maybe let's pick up, Saddam trial. I mean, the way it aired here and the way it was represented here, now you're bringing, this criminal into trial. This is very new. It was a watershed event in the Middle East. I mean, in a lot of sense, there was a build-up for it, but people were really baffled. They have never, ever seen a live trial on television, and especially to have a head of state being brought on trial. So if you look at the two stories where how it was reported here with ease and just excitement and getting this media frenzy, in the Middle East, first you have to remove the layer of uncertainty and surprise. It was a major surprise. It was people were commenting on the fact that there was a trial and that was indeed Saddam Hussein. But then I think what happened, what the intentions of the coalition and the Iraqi government of winning support of the people backfired, because I don't think the people were used to seeing Saddam Hussein go on trial, and then he did very well. He was defiant, he was challenging the judge, and all of a sudden, the majority of people turned from looking at, okay, now it's our day, we're going to have, this is our time to get revenge from Saddam Hussein and see him humiliated. The report started turning. It was a score for Saddam Hussein that he actually did very well and embarrassed the coalition. So if you compare that with how the story was reported in on U.S. networks, you'll find it totally different.
When the Abu Ghraib prison story broke on American news shows and news networks, we saw a lot of the pictures of the prisoner who was shrouded with wires attached to his body. We saw pictures of naked soldiers stacked on top of each other. We saw a picture of a soldier being threatened with a dog. Were these pictures shown on Arab TV, and were they shown as frequently as we saw them here? Were they discussed? Like, how, if they were shown, what was said about them, and how were they used?
I mean, you know, they were shown, I mean, over and over. I mean, maybe even more than they were shown here. I mean, the story lasted much longer. The importance of the story, still keeps coming back and being referred to. And the pictures were very shocking. I mean, one thing I want to just say, I heard a lot on U.S. networks that, oh, this is more humiliating because in the Islamic or the Arab culture to see the naked bodies, etc., etc. I saw a lot of emphasis about that, which people in the Middle East refer to as an Orientalist way of thinking. And meaning that, do you think someone from the Middle East or from China or Tibet will be less humiliated to be exposed naked than because of cultural difference? And this is what was emphasized somewhat here through the pundits, that just because the Muslims are not used to seeing this, or the Arabs, it must be a more humiliating experience. I'm sorry to say it is a humiliating experience, period.
Can you contrast how the beheadings have been covered by different Arab networks whose reports you broadcast on Mosaic? I'm wondering if, for example, they show as frequently as we see on American TV the videos that the terrorists release of the terrorists standing behind the men who are being held captive, holding swords, and sometimes the hostages are pleading for their lives. Sometimes they're trying to be as stoic as possible. Have those videos been shown a lot? And if so, what kind of commentary or analysis accompanies them?
Well, you know, I've been very critical about these videos. I've been critical of both Arab media and American media, because I feel that both sectors in the Middle East and in the United States are now being controlled by these terrorists. They have been manipulating, because their whole intention is to drive fear, to shock the world, to draw attention to whatever they're doing, and in a sense using it as a recruitment tool to attract other sick heads to their particular cause. And yes, in the Middle East, I would say initially there was an over-frenzied reaction of airing these videos over and over and over again, and which sadly, I have to say, American media copied that, because most of these tapes were released to Al Jazeera or Al Arabiya. And we have seen, you know, I myself watched the gruesome scene of the beheading. We never aired that. We chose not to air that. I saw the one on the website. I saw the recent another beheading of Mr. Johnson. And I don't know if even I feel good about describing the scene I watched on one of the TV networks there. It was very gruesome. It was very gruesome and very grisly. And many of the Arab networks started realizing later on they should stop showing this.
Well, how many of the Arab networks actually showed the beheadings?
The actual beheadings, none.
None, okay.
One network, though, showed the head of Mr. Johnson actually put on his back as he the torso lies dead, and that was really shocking.
You know, a lot of people say that ever since Al Jazeera went on the air, that the state-run broadcasting companies have had their power threatened because people would much rather hear get their news from Al Jazeera. How true do you think that is, that the state-run TV networks have lost viewers or lost credibility?
Al Jazeera created a new phenomena. It has created pluralism on satellite or pluralism on the air, but it did not do so on the ground. I mean, it's totally different what happens on the air and what happens on the ground. And yes, state-run television was boring like heck. I mean, you'll spend the first 10-15 minutes listening to reports about His Royal Highness meeting this prime minister, and the princes met someone else, and covering the boring events of the state. And then towards the end, you will hear some newsworthy story or an international report. Al Jazeera changed that. So Al Jazeera changed that entire concept of news watching, that they automatically go into the most relevant, important story. This did not happen. And the state-controlled networks found themselves losing audience very fast. And they're losing audience because, remember, before, most television was terrestrial television. So the satellite created a new revolution that the government could not control,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add one more point, which brings me to the point that the U.S. spent $102 million launching its own satellite, what they deem the Middle East propaganda machine, in Al Hurra and other networks from Iraq, basically to do the opposite, is to go and invade the airwaves of the Arab world.
Have you tried to get access to Al Hurra reports so that you can include them in your program, Mosaic?
I actually did a program about it. We did a program that I went to Egypt, and I recorded Al Hurra in Egypt because the U.S. does not have the signal available. It's a one-way street. It is meant to be broadcasted over the Middle East. You cannot pick it up in the United States. And I put an official request from the head of the station to see if we can get access to it. And they said they're going to have to consult with their attorneys. And to this date, they haven't gotten back to us. But so what I did, I went to Egypt, recorded it, traveled in Cairo, traveled to Luxor in the south, and Aswan, and spoke to journalists, businessmen, students, people on the street to get their opinion. And I found it very interesting what people thought. They did not have good thoughts about Al Hurra, and that's why I feel that it is doomed to fail.
Jamal Dajani produces Mosaic, a daily compilation of news reports from TV networks through the Middle East. It can be seen on the satellite network Link TV or on their website, linktv.com.